Hello, good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here, coming to you through the global services of the Nova M Radio Network. How you doing today? Freezing your ass off, huh? It's cold out, man. We have about a 30-mile-an-hour wind blowing down here tonight in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains. The temperature is about 20. So for those of you who keep track of wind chill, it is cold. hey, how about these Republicans, huh? How about these Republicans? Well, 8 years of slash and burn politics under this corrupt, filthy Republican leadership. What did they do? Record spending, trillions of dollars, just unbelievable amounts. New bureaucracies that are absolutely worthless, like Homeland Security and Transportation Safety Administration and the corruption of FEMA, all these things that they have done suddenly, oh, record deficits, suddenly these bastards have gotten religion. Now they say they want bipartisanship. They want small government. And they want some input and nobody's paying. Are they kidding? Are they serious? Oh my God. These people crack me. What is the Republican Party right now? The leadership. Well, there's Michael Steele, who was elected the head of the RNC. But the leadership of the Republican Party is Rush Limbaugh, Sarah Palin, and Joe the Plumber. Huh? And I hope it stays that way. Just stay right there. I'm telling you, the Republican Party needs to be executed. Preferably at dawn, preferably without a last cigarette. Just the Republican Party needs to be absolutely deep sixed. Or better yet, just let it continue to flop and flounder in plain view. That's right with me. What about this Michael Steele? What about this guy? This new head of the RNCA, or RNC, RNCA, the RNC? Isn't it funny? Isn't it funny how the Republicans, their hypocrisy is boundless, right? The Republicans would no more have a woman in a position of power or a person of color in a position of power than they would pee up a rope, right? Well, wait a minute. They do that all the time. What am I trying to say here? They're not interested in women and minorities or their issues. They really aren't. Oh, a token woman here and there. Okay, honey, go ahead. Get out on the Senate floor and make your peace. Or a token black here and there. Okay, bro, you can come out and talk. But so they bring Sarah Palin out of her holding pen from someplace in Alaska to be the Republican equivalent of Hillary Clinton. And then they bring Michael Steele out to be the Republican equivalent of whom? Barack Obama? I don't know. Anyway, Steele has been on what, if you are of a charitable frame of mind, you can call a public relations offensive. His first order of business: urge the rest of the Republican scumbags on Capitol Hill to reject Obama's economic recovery plan. This is what he said. The goose egg, this is what he said to the House members, these filthy pigs in the House who wouldn't vote for relief for their old lady if their mothers were choking to death. These people would say, well, I'm sorry, Mom, but, you can't do it. Anyway, he said the goose egg that you laid on the president's desk was just beautiful, absolutely beautiful. He means the zero votes in the House for the stimulus plan. Wow. He also said he made a real bizarre claim over the weekend, and he's taken to repeating it. You can see how Rush Limbaugh has taken a straw, jammed it up this freak's nose the way Rush does to all of his listeners, sucked out half of his brains. That's what Rush lives on since he's a ghoul, and replaced it with Rush thought. So this guy, Michael Steele, is out there saying, first off, the government doesn't create jobs. Let's get this notion out of our heads that the government creates jobs. Not in the history of mankind has the government ever created a job. Uh, Now, wait a minute. Steele was employed by the government in Maryland when he was lieutenant governor there, as were his staff members, as are about 1.5 million active personnel in the United States Armed Forces. And what about the defense industry, to which we give now $750 billion every single year? But the government doesn't never have. Let's go back to the Eisenhower era. Interstate highway system. Go anywhere you want. This dumb bastard, I hope he continues. This klutz, this jerk. Stay out there, Michael. You and Sarah and Joe the plumber and Rush Limbaugh. You make a great foursome. You really do. There's Michael Steele saying, the government doesn't create jobs. Let's get this notion out of our heads. Not in the history of mankind has the government ever created a job. What a sorry son of a bitch. But this is so typical of Republicans. Now, the bobbleheads who listen to this, Republican bobbleheads, who also have felt Rush Limbaugh's straw up their nostril and the removal of part of their brains, the bobbleheads sit there and go, yep, that's right, government never did anything. Yep, never created a job. Yep, never did a thing. It's insane. What the hell is, what is the Army, the Navy, the Marine Corps, the Coast Guard, the Air Force? What is that? What is that? Michael, you jerk, never created a job. Okay. What is the defense budget? Where does that come from? Never mind. What a jackass. What a typical Republican. I think it's wonderful that Limbaugh, Palin, Joe the Plumber, and Michael Steele are now the leaders of the Republican Party. I think it's wonderful. With these four in charge, it won't have to be killed. The Republican Party won't have to be murdered or shot at dawn. These four will smother it in an absolute tide of idiocy, stupidity, ignorance, and body fluids. Got an email from Roger. Roger writes, Mike, I listen to your show every night at work. You had a call from oil man Rick. That was last night, and talked about him. Well, what you missed is that he and people like him are just the proverbial frog in the water pot. They don't even realize they are dying as well. You turn the heat up on the pot, and the frog doesn't even realize it's being cooked. He and his ilk are the same. They don't realize that living in America, they're being cooked by the conservative right-wing philosophy and policies as well, the rest of us. They are being boiled to death and relish it because they are fools. Yeah. Remember him, Rick the oil man? Oh, my God, what a jackass. Where do you people come from? I know I'm always inviting you to call the program, and I hope you continue, because the normal people who listen to this show enjoy hearing you strip yourself naked and show your idiocy. We talked a little bit about the horrible thing that the Republican Congress and Bill Clinton did back in 1996, the so-called welfare reform. And I got a couple of emails about that I'm going to share with you in a second. We have to take a break here. So stick around. We have a fun night planned for you. We are going to attempt to further or push closer to the edge the Republican Party so that maybe somebody will come along and cough, and it will plunge over a cliff and plunge to its death. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. They put their faith and trust in God and corporations. They stand for piety that doesn't suffer rivals. They're waving flags and guns and quoting from the Bible. Republicans, baby, I can't stand those Republicans.
Coming up to the Flying Monkey Right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. Sounds like limbo. Welcome to XM listeners who now have access to this program, the first hour of the 3 hours of the broadcast. For the longest time, XM only provided the second 2 hours, now the entire show. And thanks to Dave Gorab at Sirius XM for doing that. Whatever he did, I'm not sure what he did, but he did something. Thanks, Dave. anyway, we were commenting last night about the fact that just about every aspect of the sinking economy has been covered now. The super wealthy who stand around with their genitals in their hands, whining and begging for more money.
Please help me. Please help me. I didn't get a bonus this year. Please help me. I only made $6 million. Please help me.
You know, from them across the spectrum to out-of-work factory workers, people in teaching. I mean, everywhere you go, retail workers, just corporation after corporation are shedding workers as if they were what corporations have always seen them, just so much dead weight. Don't forget, corporations see workers as a liability, not an asset. No matter how hard American workers work, no matter how efficient, no matter how productive, as soon as they have a chance, these filthy capitalist pigs fire them. Anything to suck more money out of all of us without having to pay people to work. And eventually, after they have sucked everything they can get out of us, the capitalist pigs move their factories someplace where the labor is cheaper. And then cheaper, and then cheaper, and then cheaper, and then cheaper. That's how they work. Bill Clinton was the biggest enabler of that. Bill Clinton was, and when I say he was the best Republican in U.S. presidential history, I'm not saying that as a compliment. I'm saying that as, I don't know, like I think maybe I'm pulling back the sheet off this bastard, which I'm not. Everybody knows what a turncoat he was. Why did he run as a Democrat? He wasn't a Democrat. In any manner was this guy a Democrat. Never mind, that's a different story. Anyway, I got this email from Edie who writes, Mike, your screed against welfare reform, so-called, last night was music to my ears. I'll never forgive Clinton and the Democrats, including Joe Biden, who voted for that atrocity, welfare reform, against helpless people, our own people. I can speak to this issue from the perspective of a former welfare mother with two kids to raise alone in the 70s. I was diagnosed with cancer. I was 28 years old. If not for Family and Children's Services and Georgia Medicaid, I would have died. And my young ones would have ended up in foster care. I still shudder when I think of that. The system that Americans love to hate literally saved my family by paying 100% of my medical and food stamps so we could eat. When that disgusting gift to the right wing bill passed, I wondered how many struggling moms and children would fall through the cracks. How many moms and children actually died because they were forced, unprepared, off the welfare and Medicaid rolls? How many moms died and their children swallowed up in foster care to grow up lonely and unloved? I'm still asking. Edie, who now lives in Dogpatch, Alabama. P.S. Mike, you can read this on the air. The shame belongs to the lying hypocrites, Bill and his gang, who looked down from on high and gave desperate women and children the finger. Yeah, they did, didn't they? They really did. But every once in a while, capitalism, American-style capitalism, predatory capitalism, goes through one of those convulsions where it takes a look and says, wait a minute, there are too many people being fed, too many children here. I'll tell you what, let's just cut the welfare rolls, and the little rugrats will die, and their mothers will curl up and die, and that'll trim everything down, okay? Okay. Bastards. Bob in Kentucky writes, could I complain for a moment? Sure, go ahead. Oh, wait a minute. We're running out of time this break. All right. Bob, we'll do your email when we come back. And I'm telling you, I'm starting now to get dozens of these not scores yet, but dozens of these a day of people who have been cut loose by corporate America with not even a kiss on the cheek. It's really something to see, isn't it? To see how these unconscionable bastards who figured out a way, the Bush crime family and their cohorts in the financial services industry, decided for once and for all. They knew the country was tanking. They knew the end of empire, like I read last night, Chris Hedges' essay. They knew the end of empire was here. So what they did, Bush and Cheney and the rest of these monstrous bastards and their friends all over in corporate America, they decided to take it down in one grand slash and burn. Take the money and run. God damn, didn't they do a good job on us?
No subliminal messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
The Lord Jesus Christ himself.
Twenty-five before the hour. Bob in Kentucky writes, "Can I complain for a moment? In 2004, I was laid off from a fairly high-paying gig at Charles Schwab. After 2+ years of job searching, I was 54 at the time. I was forced to file bankruptcy after burning through all of our savings, our 401k, the IRA, trying to keep up with the bills. I guess I was in on the beginning of the crap we are into now. Anyway, we were sort of forced to move in with my mother-in-law. She needed help, second stage Alzheimer's. So we bought her house in Kentucky, not a bad place, but in need of some serious repairs. Our only income is my wife's pension. We are trying to do the house remodeling on our own, with some help from a local bank. I guess what I'm trying to say is, how is the Obama stimulus going to help me? Will it create jobs in this podunk town I live in? I doubt it. Meanwhile, the bastards who have all the money keep getting all the money. $18 billion in bonuses, Wells Fargo sending people to Vegas, etc. At least in my case, if the president wants to stimulate the economy, send me a check. Or even better, send it to Lowe's, since that's where it will end up anyway. Sorry for the rant. Everyone needs to freak once in a while. I appreciate your work. Bob in Kentucky." I guess the idea behind Obama's plan to stimulate the economy, I don't even know anymore. I really don't. I refuse to listen to the Republican counterpoints. And I think Obama's plan will create jobs which generates revenue, including tax revenue, for the federal government, which desperately needs it. But it creates jobs, and jobs have a ripple effect. If they're all of a sudden a massive construction job, say redoing a 50-mile stretch of interstate highway, That entails not just the people who make concrete and steel, the steel bars that go into it, and the people that do asphalt, and the people who do landscaping, and the people who drive all the vehicles, but also the support services that are obviously needed in that 50-mile stretch, the restaurants and the cleaning establishments, the laundromats, the bars. It kind of works that way. The ripple effect of stimulating the economy, and it goes on and on. Stay in touch, Bob. Regarding Mr. Michael Steele, the new head of the Republican Party, who says government has never created any job. Jesus Christ, this guy. Oh, just stay there. Stay there. Please stay the head of the RNC. You and Sarah and Rush and Joe the Bomber. Just stay there. Please, all four of you, run the Republican Party. Run it right into a brick wall. Just keep doing it. Anyway, Christian writes, is the former lieutenant governor forgetting about the tens of millions of federal aid his state receives every year? Baltimore's Inner Harbor was completely rebuilt with federal money. It went from an abandoned eyesore to a popular attraction generating tax revenue for the state. I guess all those people and the dozens of businesses were on a volunteer basis. What about Pell Grants to help students get college degrees so they can get a job? The feds recently gave the crab industry millions of dollars to help them stay in business. Perhaps Mr. Steele thinks that money came from Rush Limbaugh? If you ever saw Steele on the Bill Maher program, you know he's just a pathetic muppet with Rush Limbaugh's hand, well, you know where. Christian. Yeah, these guys are beyond funny. They really are. Prairie 2 writes, regarding government jobs, in the next breath, they'll tell you Franklin Roosevelt didn't get us out of the Depression, that World War II did. Let's see. Everybody worked for the government during the war. Private business basically ceased. But government can't create jobs, and it won't fix the economy. Never, ever, end quote. In the spirit of ridicule, that's the only reason we're focusing on this half-ass Michael Steele's comments, the new head of the Republican National Committee. Like I say, only in the interest of ridicule, this guy is a clown, an absolute clown. And I think he's right where he needs to be, right where he needs to be. The Senate yesterday, as you know, confirmed Eric Holder as the nation's first African-American attorney general. The vote was 75-21. I have not seen the breakdown of the vote, but I'll bet you the 21 people who voted against him were all Republicans, all white, all male, and all from southern states. What do you want to bet? What do you want to bet? Huh? Like I said, I haven't seen the breakdown. I may be wrong. But of the 21, I'll bet you at least 18 or 19 of them are from the old Confederacy. That's just the way it works down here. I have begun to notice the arrogance in this idiot that sounds like he has a mouthful of pig dung every time he opens his mouth. Shelby from Alabama, him and Jeff Sessions, these people talk like, like I don't know. They've got just pig droppings coming all out through our teeth. What is wrong with these people? I remember John Lewis, the congressman here from the 5th District in Georgia, had a lifelong speech impediment. There were certain words he simply could not form. And he became a member of Congress. So what did he do? He went and got speech lessons. He went to a speech therapist who essentially taught him how to enunciate his words so people could understand him. And John Lewis, of course, African-American, one of the nicest people you'd ever want to meet. I know, because I know him quite well. A good guy. He was one of the people that marched across the Edmund Pettus Bridge and got the hell beat out of him. Civil rights leader extraordinaire, for sure. But he had a speech problem. It was nothing that couldn't be repaired. It was just the way he was taught or not taught to speak. And he got it fixed. And I wonder about these white senators from the South, that even their constituents, even some of their redneck backwoods Alabama constituents, don't know what the hell they're talking about. But when I see these guys on television, especially Richard Shelby, you know, from Alabama, I keep waiting to see little pig droppings to roll out. You ever seen pig droppings? To see them just rabbit droppings, just see them roll out of these guys' mouths. It's just horrifying. Of the 21 people that voted against Eric Holder, then, what do you want to bet? I'm sure somebody may, even as I'm talking, do an internet, go to senate.gov or whatever and find out who said no on his confirmation. Huh? I bet you a cup of battery acid. Huh? Anyway, he went to the Justice Department today for the swearing-in ceremony and to greet some of that department's. Do you know how many people work for the Justice Department? Now, remember, government never creates jobs. 110,000 people work for the Justice Department. Do you know how many of them, John Ashcroft and who was the other guy, Gonzalez, and you and the rest of these people tried to corrupt 110,000 of them? Do you know how many they succeeded in corrupting? Maybe 100. And now those rat bastards are gone, and in comes Eric Holder. Eric Holder is deemed to be an African-American in this society, and these white senators can't stand it. They can't stand it. It was bad enough to see a black man ascend to the presidency, but they could always tell themselves, well, you know, he can't do too much harm. But the attorney general in the southern states? Are you kidding? Senator Patrick Leahy said the need for new leadership in the Department of Justice is as critical today as it's ever been. Yeah. On the other hand, if Patrick Leahy on the Judiciary Committee, the chairman, had done his job during the past couple of the past 2 years, how long has it been since the Republicans have held the Senate? If Leahy had done his job, the Justice Department might not be in the position it's in. So the hypocrisy and ignorance of the Republicans is exceeded only by the cowardice and the duplicity of the Democrats. You know that as well as I do. excuse me. According to the Washington Post, Eric Holder is among the most credentialed lawyers ever to become attorney general. He began his career as a public corruption prosecutor before serving as U.S. attorney in the district and as a superior court judge. He later operated as second in command of the Justice Department during the years after the Clinton administration, during the later years, I should say, of the Clinton administration. So I think we're looking for a new era in injustice in this country. You think? Well, we'll see, won't we?
Well, I don't know about that boy up there in the Justice Department.
Doing talk radio right. From the left, it's More of Mike Malloy.
It's 10 before the hour. Okay, somebody sent this to me on the nomination confirmation of Eric Holder. 75 yes votes, 21 no votes. There were 19 Republicans who voted for him, 54 Democrats who voted for him. No Democrats voted no. But the no votes, well, let's see what we have here. Roger Wicker from Mississippi, David Bitter from Louisiana, Richard Shelby from Alabama, Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, James Inhofe of Oklahoma, Kay Bailey Hutchinson of Texas, Jim DeMint of South Carolina, John Cornyn of Texas, Thad Cochran of Mississippi, Tom Coburn of Oklahoma, Richard Burr Weaver of North Carolina, Jim Bunning of Kentucky. Okay, so I was off. There are only 11 white Southerners and one female in there. Kay Bailey Hutchinson is a female. Yes?
Were you just reading some sort of Klan roster?
It sounded that way, didn't it? Oh, my God. Well, it's good to see that Judd Gregg voted in favor. We're going to talk about Judd Gregg. He was in the yes column. We're going to talk about him after the break. The Barack Obama nominee to be Secretary of Commerce. Oh, God, what a basket case this guy is. Judd Gregg is about as far right as you can get and still be, upright. What's his name? Kent Conrad, the chairman of the Senate Budget Committee, who, you know, holds the hearings on the Commerce Secretary's nomination, said, when was this, today? Yeah, today, Kent Conrad said, quote, Senator Gregg's nomination to be Commerce Secretary represents a great loss for the United States Senate and a great gain for the Obama administration. Senator Gregg is an outstanding senator, a terrific partner on the Budget Committee, and a good friend. Importantly, Judge Gregg understands commerce. He knows what it would take to put our economy back on track and keep it there. And he has the ability to bridge the partisan divide to bring about the best results for the American people. Oh, my God. But President Obama's made a great choice in selecting Judd Gregg to join his team, end quote. Holy cow. He really said that. He really did. Judd Gregg, he's a hardcore right-winger. You can get all the information online. his voting record is astonishing, just astonishing. He's rated 20% by the ACLU. He's rated 100% by the Christian Coalition when it was still around. Rated 0 by the National Abortion Rights Action League. He voted yes on defining a fetus as eligible for the S-CHIP, the Children's Health Insurance Program, a fetus. He voted yes on prohibiting minors crossing state lines for an abortion. Voted yes on barring health and human service grants to organizations that perform abortions. Voted yes on notifying parents of minors who get out-of-state abortions. Voted no on $100 million to reduce teen pregnancy by education and contraceptives. Oh, I ain't going to have none of that. Voted yes on banning late-term abortions. Voted yes on maintaining a ban on military-based abortions. This is his background on abortion. He voted no on repealing the tax subsidy for companies which move U.S. jobs offshore. In other words, the U.S. Commerce Secretary thinks it's a good idea for companies who take our jobs away that those companies continue to have tax subsidies paid for by you and me. So not only do we get to see our jobs go somewhere else, but we have to pay the companies who take our jobs somewhere else, according to Judd Gregg. Is that not goddamn astonishing that this is the guy that Barack Obama would pick to be the Commerce Secretary? He voted yes on reforming the Bankruptcy Act to include all sorts of restrictions on people. This is back in 05. You know, this is one that Biden supported, to make it almost impossible for individuals to file bankruptcy and get a clean slate. But as far as corporations, oh, no problem. He voted yes on restricting rules on personal bankruptcy. This is the guy who's going to be our next Commerce Secretary. He voted no on reinstating funding for the COPS program that helped reduce crime, and it did during the Clinton years. He voted no on a bill to continue the COPS program. He voted yes on limiting death penalty appeals. In other words, if someone's convicted of capital a capital offense and is facing execution and has insisted he's innocent, and at the last minute, or not even the last minute, proof is out there, DNA proof, that the man did not commit it, this miserable vampire son of a bitch would say, no, 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 uh-uh, you had your appeals. What, there's evidence that proves conclusively you didn't do it? It doesn't matter. You're going to die anyway. Might as well be now. This is who Barack Obama has picked to be Commerce Secretary. He voted yes on limiting product liability punitive damage awards. You know, if you eat some poison peanut butter and it kills your child, Judd Gregg says, well, now, wait a minute, wait a minute. You can't sue for, you know, more than your kid was worth. How much was your kid worth? It's just astonishing. Astonishing. I've got more here. Stick around. Judd Gregg, a neo-Nazi, if ever one existed in the Senate, and he's to be the new Commerce Secretary. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. Before we leave the Eric Holder swearing in today, his nomination and confirmation, so on and so forth, a couple of people have sent me just very quiet emails, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention something that I've left out, I guess because I've kind of given up on so much of this stuff. But first of all, Eric Holder was appointed as a judge by Ronald Reagan back in the 80s, but that's not the bad part. He represented United Fruit, or Chiquita Banana, call it whatever you want. This is the company that in 2007 entered a guilty plea to the U.S. Department of Justice that it had made payments for about 8 years to the Colombian paramilitary organization AUC, known by its acronym AUC, that was designated by the U.S. government as a foreign terrorist organization. Now, what Chiquita did over the years, and actually going back about 80 years, United Fruit, or Chiquita Banana, or whatever you want to call it, one of Eric Holder's clients, has an almost century-long history of murdering people in Central and South America. The people they murdered were union organizers, left-wing priests who preached liberation theology. They funded organizations that would kill labor organizers. And why did they do that? Well, Chiquita wanted to keep the cost down. You see, why allow the little brown people to organize into unions when if you kill the union organizers, hire death squads and kill the union organizers, it's not going to happen. So this is an interesting message to U.S. labor to hire a man who has worked for a corporation that murdered union organizers. And Eric Holder's job was to defend Chiquita Banana or United Fruit, and he did a damn good job. Eric Holder made hundreds of thousands of dollars, his law firm anyway, the law firm that he worked for, in defending Chiquita. In November 2007, Chiquita agreed to pay a fine of $25 million. No individual directors or officers, of course, were named in the Department of Justice lawsuit against Chiquita. It always works that way. You see, they sued the corporation. They don't sue the people who gave the orders to go out and kill folks. So I think it's important, as we look to Eric Holder, this dedicated and determined young Justice Department head, the new Attorney General of the United States, who will now ride forth on his steed to slay the dragons loosed on the country by John Ashcroft and Alberto Gonzalez and John Yoo. We would be remiss if we didn't keep in mind that this man had no hesitation in representing a company that for 80 years most people have known that they, in the U.S. government, in the government of Colombia, in the government of Guatemala, in the government, just pick a country in northern South America or Central America, Chiquita Banana, United Fruit, was one of the companies that Smedley Butler, General Smedley Butler, United States Marine Corps, the only man in history to win two Medals of Honor, that Smedley Butler referred to when he wrote about war is a racket. And he was referring to the death squads and the fact that the United States Marine Corps back 70, 80 years ago were sent to Nicaragua and Colombia and these various countries to murder people. That's not the way it was put back in the day, but that's not the way it was put in Iraq either. In Iraq, we went in to murder people in order to protect U.S. oil interests. In a more gentler era in this country's bloody history, we sent the Marines in to murder people over goddamn bananas. Okay? So Eric Holder, who will now clean up the Justice Department, is also, one might argue, complicit in defending, not complicit, he did defend in court a company that hired death squads to murder union organizers, people seeking social justice. Now, having said that, I hate that phrase, one can also say that everyone deserves legal representation when they are charged with a crime, even if it is organized or supporting, financially supporting death squads, right? Everyone is entitled to the best legal representation they can afford. That is foundational in the American system of judgment, justice, isn't it? Huh? Everyone is entitled to what they can afford. If you can only afford an ambulance chasing son of a bitch who advertises on television, okay. If you can afford Eric Holder from a white shoe law firm in Washington, D.C., okay. So you make either argument you want to make. That Eric Holder was merely doing what his law degree requires him to do, to provide legal representation to someone, in this case a corporation, accused of crimes against humanity, terror, torture, murder, assassination. Now, do corporations like that deserve legal representation? I'll leave that for you to answer. Does it mean that Eric Holder willingly participated in defending? Well, of course. I mean, what attorney is not fully aware of the client whom he seeks to defend in court, right? Whether that client is an actual living, breathing person, or in this case, filings in a courthouse somewhere. So, you take whatever point of view you want. But, Truth Seeker, you got to be aware of this, right? Now, here's what you can do. Don't email me and ask me about this information. You find it. Go to Google, type in Eric Holder, and then the plus sign, and then United Fruit or Chiquita. And you will get all kinds of stuff to read. All right? I don't know. I don't understand Judd Gregg. I don't understand so many of the appointments that Barack Obama's making. And again, in fairness, you can make an argument either way where it concerns Eric Holder. A lawyer is a lawyer is a lawyer. A person is entitled to a defense when he is charged with a crime like organizing or funding death squads. Of course, this was not a person. This was a corporation. So that kind of diminishes the argument, to me anyway, that everyone deserves a defense when they're charged with something like this. Because no one was charged with it. It was a corporation. So does that diminish the claim to legal representation? To me it does, but I'm not an absolutist, and I'm not a lawyer. I'm just curious about all this. And frankly, a bit, shocked. Judd Gregg voted yes on increasing penalties for marijuana possession. Voted no on legalizing marijuana for medical use. Voted yes on spending international development funds on drug control. Voted no on additional $10 billion for federal education and health and human service projects. Voted no on $52 million for 21st century community learning centers. Voted no on grants to local educational agencies. Voted no on shifting $11 billion from corporate tax loopholes to education. Voted no on funding smaller classes instead of private tutors. Voted no on funding student testing instead of private tutors. You get the drift?
Got the Flying Monkey Right Blues? Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Back to Judd Gregg, who will be confirmed as the Obama's pick for Secretary of Commerce. Oh, and by the way, there was a lot of speculation that what Obama was doing was a very tricky little bit of political play, Gregg being a Republican. And the governor of his state being a Democrat. So when Gregg left as a senator from New Hampshire, the Democratic governor would appoint a Democrat. And when they seat Al Franken, that would have given the Democrats a 60-seat supermajority in the Senate. So Gregg said, oh, no, if you want me to be the attorney or the secretary of commerce, here's what you have to do. The Democratic governor has to appoint a Republican to replace me. So Barack Obama and the Democratic governor of New Hampshire said, okay. Unbelievable. Back to Judd Gregg's voting record. He voted no on spending money from a tax cut on education and debt reduction. Voted yes on educational savings accounts. You know, so you can send your kid to a Christian church school. Voted yes on allowing flexibility in federal school rules. You know what that means. Voted yes on school vouchers in D.C. Of course, he doesn't live there. That's not where he's from. He's from New Hampshire. But, you know, those little darky children there, you know. voted yes on $75 million for abstinence education. That's a real workable project, isn't it? Voted yes on requiring schools to allow voluntary prayer. Voted no on national education standards. And he gets a 27% rating by the National Education Association, which indicates an anti-public education record. Oh, let's move on. let's see, he voted no on adding 2 to 4 million children to the state children's health insurance program eligibility. He voted no on requiring negotiated prescription prices for Medicare Part D. He voted yes on limiting medical liability lawsuits to $250,000. Right? Okay. Medical liability lawsuit. If you take something labeled a Bufferin, it comes in a Bayer bottle, and it turns out it was put there by the Bayer aspirin company, and it kills you. Well, your widow or widower or your children can get $250,000. That's it. Thanks to Judd Gregg. Voted no on expanding the enrollment period for Medicare Part D. Voted no on increasing Medicaid rebates for producing generics. It just goes on and on and on. It doesn't stop with this guy. Oh, here, how about this? Voted yes on cutting $221 million in benefits to Filipinos who served in the U.S. Army in World War II. Screw them! Voted no on requiring FISA court warrant to monitor U.S. overseas calls. That was just February 2008. No. Go ahead. Warrantless wiretaps. Voted no on limiting soldiers' deployments to 12 months. Now, what does that mean? Judd Gregg said, no, God damn it, they got to stay there. And as long as General Petraeus or General Snake Eyes or whoever wants them, 12 months my ass, their wives and children can deal with it. Now, this is a guy who hid from the draft during the Vietnam era. He was eligible for the draft, but he was a draft dodger like Bill Clinton. He stayed in law school and then graduate school and then postgraduate school, anything to get away from the draft board. But he voted no on limiting deployment to 12 months. Son of a bitch. Voted no on preserving habeas corpus for detainees at Guantanamo. Voted no on requiring CIA reports on detainees and interrogation methods. Voted yes on reauthorizing the Patriot Act. Voted yes on extending the Patriot Act's wiretap provision. Let's tap more phones! It goes on and on. Voted no on adopting the Comprehensive Nuclear Test Ban Treaty. Voted yes on prohibiting same-sex basic training. Oh, my God. Change you can believe in. If you want more on this right-wing Nazi, you can find it yourself. Of all the people that could serve as Secretary of Commerce, why would Barack Obama pick him? Why? This is from John in Cornish, New Hampshire, regarding Senator Gregg's replacement. Oops, we got a break. We'll come back after the break. Here's somebody who lives there. Let's share that with you. And then I have something to tell you about Liberal Talk Radio. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
So the promise of an Aryan world would never materialize.
So why did they all come out of the woodwork
on the day the Nazi died? The world is riddled with maggots. The maggots are getting fat. They're making a tasty meal of all the bosses and bureaucrats.
They're taking over the boardrooms and they're battled full of pride.
And they all came out of the woodwork on the day the Nazi died. So if you meet with these historians, I'll tell you what to say. Tell them that the Nazis never really went away. They're out there burning houses down and peddling racist lies. And we'll never rest again until every Nazi dies.
The Mike Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
minutes, about 25 before the hour. Now, a couple of you are picking up on this idea. Daryl from Dunwoody is one about Sun Tzu saying, is it Sun Tzu? Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. No, that's Machiavelli. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Daryl writes, Mike, I believe Obama has read the book Team of Rivals. Based on what you've described about the senator, would it not be better to have the rat bastard out of the Senate? A couple of you have suggested that this is a tactical move on the part of Obama. Greg, by the way, Judge Greg, back in 1995, as some of you have emailed me, I didn't know this, voted to kill the Commerce Department. Oh, my God. He tried to abolish the department. Now he's going to head it. Is this Barack Obama the trickster? Is this a joke? What's going on? Anyway, John in Cornish, New Hampshire writes, excuse me, as a New Hampshire resident of some three dozen years, I feel qualified to modestly propose a three-way deal to resolve the issue of Senator Gregg's seat in the Senate. There is much brouhaha up and teeth gnashing up here about the prospect of our Democratic governor seating a Republican replacement, even an allegedly moderate one, just so we can let give Greg the privilege of accepting a cushy cabinet post and not upset the delicate balance of power. Why the Democrats were never able to create some filibusterial equilibrium with well over 41 seats is beyond me, but that's another matter. What I would like to see is for our Governor Lynch to seat a moderate Democrat. We don't seem to grow progressives up here. Seat a moderate Democrat, and then he names a couple. In turn, the Democrats would allow or force that so-called independent senator, who shall not be named, from Connecticut, to go ahead and caucus with the Republicans, or better still, to officially join their party. That would be a beautiful thing. Just a thought from icy New Hampshire. What John is suggesting is let Lieberman go ahead and fulfill his dream to be a Republican, and that'll keep the balance at 59 Democratic senators instead of the magic 60 that the Democrats seem to feel they must have. Oh, and Judd Gregg, my understanding, voted against the King holiday. There's just no end to this. One of the functions of the Commerce Department is to enforce whatever laws are on the books regarding minority-owned businesses, where it concerns access to contracts by federal, state, local governments, and even private corporations if they have a certain number of employees, but certainly government entities that hire minorities or work with minorities, there are certain rules that have to be followed because of our lovely history of slavery and racism in this country. So, Judd Gregg is the new secretary, or will be, Commerce Secretary. I guess. Not sure what it all means. We got word today, I don't think it's been confirmed by Clear Channel, another station is going all sports talk. This one in the Miami area, WINZ, that has been carrying a lot of progressive talk radio, liberal talk radio. So this is two or three just in the past couple of days. This will give Miami five sports talk stations. They need them down there. Look, let me give you a quick tutorial on what's going on. For some reason, I don't quite understand this, but for some reason, corporate America, these big media corporations that are extreme right-wing corporatist organizations, are convinced somehow that the few of us, 10, 12, in liberal talk or progressive talk, and some of us aren't that liberal, really, that the 10 or 12 of us who have national audiences in liberal talk had an influence on the last election. Now, I think you and I both know that is way overblown. I certainly would like to think that my program or Hartman's program or Randy's program or Peter B. Collins' program, or a Bob at Head On Radio, Bob Kincaid's program, or come on, give me some more. Who else? Who am I forgetting? Rachel Maddow's program, or Iset Hartman, or Sam Cedar's online. You know, that we had some magical power to influence the election and get Barack Obama elected. But I don't think we did. I really don't. I think that in the heyday of Air America, which has now become another corrupt media company, back when Air America first came on and we had all that publicity, I think, yes, we did have an effect on the off-year elections, when that would have been 06. I think we had an effect on that. But as far as the presidential election, no. I think the Bush crime family has so destroyed the country and Barack Obama so inspired the country that had there been no liberal talk at all, the results would have been pretty much the same. But because media companies are right-wing in nature, they have to be. They must be. That's why when you pick up any newspaper, you will find a business section, but you won't find a labor section, right? They have to be pro-corporation because they are corporations. There are very few individually owned radio stations anymore that have any kind of broadcast power whatsoever. Very few left. They're all part of some larger corporatist conglomerate. So the word has gone out in talk radio to eliminate as quickly and as efficiently as possible all liberal slash progressive talk. If this occurs, the result is going to be liberal and progressive talk is going to migrate to the internet or to satellite radio. Over-the-air broadcasting for liberal or progressive talk is rapidly coming to an end. Now, I don't know how rapidly. It may take 6 months. It may take a year. It may take less than that. But word has gone out. When you take a look at the cities in this country that have major Democratic populations, major liberal or labor populations, like Detroit, like New York, like Philadelphia, like Chicago, and I defy you to find heavily promoted liberal or progressive talk radio in those markets. You will not find it. And it's not because there's not a market for it. God damn it, I get so sick of hearing that from these right-wing bastards. There is a market. There's a huge market for progressive talk. Washington, D.C. now does not have, or soon will not have, any liberal talkers. And the argument is, well, they didn't get any ratings. That is a lie. So I'm just telling you this so you understand. Nova M is still a viable company. I think Air America is, I don't know, they're still clunking along. I don't know how long they would go. I hope they go long enough so they can pay me the $116,000 they cheated me out of, stole from me. But I don't know how long, no matter how well-funded a radio network is, if the people who own the broadcast outlets, the stations, refuse to take your programming, you can have Jesus Christ doing a program every Sunday morning. And if nobody will take his show, nobody's going to hear him. You see? It's that simple. So with this drumbeat now of closing down liberal progressive radio stations, I don't care if it's in Washington, D.C. or Miami or Sacramento or wherever it is happening. So be aware of it. Don't be surprised when, if the time comes when you want to hear liberal or progressive talk, you have to go to XM or Sirius or the internet. That day is not far away. Trust me. And if it were a free marketplace of ideas, I'm not talking about the fairness doctrine. Screw that. Liberals have never needed that. Never. Anytime you put us head to head with one of these monkey clawing right wing nutbags and promote us equally, give us the proper signal, just like the right wing nutbags, we kick their asses every single time. Never, ever in the past 15 years when there's been a head-to-head contest in a radio market, with all things being equal, has a right-winger gotten better ratings consistently than a left-winger. Never, never. Now, I don't give a damn what this rag Talkers magazine says or what Howie Kurtz at the Washington Post, who has designated himself as the media critic, I don't care what any of them say. The truth is what I just told you. So, liberal or progressive talk is coming to an end where it concerns over-the-air broadcast. Be ready for it. If you have a chance to support it, support it, but it looks like it's going to go satellite web broadcasting.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
It's 10 before the hour. A couple of quick items here, and then we're going to take some phone calls when we come back. The number is 800-989-1480. You hear about this visit to Guantanamo. James Inhofe of Oklahoma is going there, Republican right-wing jackass from Oklahoma. Pat Roberts, Republican right-wing jackass from Kansas. Richard Burr, Republican right-wing jackass from North Carolina. And David Vitter, Republican right-wing jackass from Louisiana. They're all going down to Guantanamo on what they call a fact-finding mission. That's in response to Obama's executive order to close the prison, right? This is what Inhofe said. Several claims have been tossed around over the past few years in regards to the operations at Gitmo, but with President Obama's intention to close down the facility, the United States could be faced with some very grave national security threats. President Obama's executive order failed to take into consideration the implications of closing Gitmo. What happens to current detainees at Gitmo? What does the military do with detainees held in other military prisons around the world? How does the military handle terrorists captured in the future? And what judicial process is going to be used? This trip is designed to help bring these and other issues to the forefront. Oh, you go, Inhofe. Senator Richard Burr of North Carolina said, quote, I look forward to visiting the Guantanamo detention facility so that we can make decisions based on fact and firsthand observations about what to do with these dangerous detainees. I am so far unconvinced that moving trained terrorists to the United States is in the best national security interest of our nation. Trained terrorists? Dangerous detainees? Now, who declared them that? Senator Vitter, David Vitter, right-wing nutbag from Louisiana. I was very disappointed in President Obama's decision to close the detention facility at Guantanamo. This facility should not be closed, and these individuals should not be released until we can determine the extent of their potential involvement in terrorist activities. And we most certainly should use every available measure to ensure that they do not make their way into the United States if, in fact, they are released. Tell you what, Vitter, you know, to me, you're a terrorist. I want you locked up, you son of a bitch. I want you stripped naked. I want pictures of your mama hung up, side down in your cell. I want your Holy Bible urinated on. I want you held that way until you confess, or until I'm convinced, Senator Vitter, that you're not a terrorist. Oh, you wouldn't like that? Oh, okay. Senator Pat Roberts, right-wing nutbag from Kansas.
This is my second trip to Gitmo. On this visit, I'm eager to talk with our honor-bound men and women in uniform and our intelligence officials about safeguards and conditions for housing these detainees in the future. I am especially concerned with ridiculous speculation that Fort Leavenworth is equipped to handle these detainees, some of the most dangerous terrorists in the world. I am convinced these terrorists cannot and will not be housed in Kansas.
Some of the most dangerous terrorists in the world. Who's, oh, that's right. Dick Cheney said that. Hey, Jackass Roberts, have they been tried? Have they been convicted? Have they been sentenced? One of really the most dangerous terrorists in the world, who made the first attempt to blow up the World Trade Center, is in prison. He is being housed in the United States. And so far, no problem. You miserable sons of bitches, all four of you. I hope you get down there and some snake bites all four of you. Maybe a nice Cuban coral snake, just something, just bite you on your ass, and you all sit down in the sun and go, oh, I think I'm dying. God. So there they go. Senator Pat Roberts, Senator Richard Burr, Senator David Vitter, and Senator Jim Inhofe. That place down there is full of terrorists. Oh, damn, we can't let them. We can't let them. Can't let them do anything. They're terrorists. Well, just remember that thing I shared with you last night. By Chris Hedges, no, it's not going to be okay. Time for a break? No, not for a while. Do we have anybody on hold? You want to? Oh, wait, I know what I want to do. Hold on. Oh, okay. Everybody's on hold. We'll get your call as soon as we come back. Don't anybody go away. God, I didn't look at the board there. All the lines are full. A week or so ago, we were talking about coincidence. You know, just coincidence. Yeah, don't pay attention. The body of a missile combat crew commander from the Minot Air Force Base in Minot, North Dakota, was found by police. The cause of death is under investigation. Remember that when Air Force technicians at Minot Air Force Base in North Dakota loaded 5 nuclear warheads on a B-52, which was then flown to a base in Louisiana. Remember that? And how many of that crew are now dead? Well, here the combat crew commander was found dead. A statement issued by the base Sunday said the body of Captain Jonathan Bayless was found Friday night. Police did not give details, but said it was in an area north of the city's soccer complex, and they are awaiting autopsy results. Colonel Christopher Ayers, the base's 91st Missile Wing commander, said Bayless was a training chief with the 91st Operations Support Squadron. He had been at the Minot Air Base since March 2005. Bayless went on active duty in May 2003. Bayless base officials did not list his hometown, but said he had been assigned earlier to Vandenberg Air Force Base for missile combat crew member training. Blah, 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 blah. A memorial service is being planned. This was in militarytimes.com, by the way. Let me repeat that. The body of a missile combat crew commander from the Minot Air Force Base was found by police, and the cause of his death is under investigation. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Two quick emails here, then back to your phone calls, or to your phone calls. KC writes, Mike, regarding Greg, just remember, you can't fire a senator, but you can fire a commerce secretary. Okay, maybe so. And this is from, who's this from? This is from Linda. Hello, Mike. Just one quick thought about Greg's appointment. I'm having trouble thinking tonight as I did subject myself to listening for 2 days to the Senate debate, quote-unquote, the stimulus bill. Oh, my God, help me. Senator Greg can't vote in the Senate anymore, right? No more Nazi votes from him, especially these next two critical years. That seems to be a good thing. But do you think Obama's trying to play a skillful game of chess, perhaps? Today he lost two bishops, though. Great show, by the way, as always. Blah, blah, blah. Thanks, Linda. P.S. I called Governor Lynch in New Hampshire this morning and told him not to appoint a Democrat. And I told the secretary that he was just another ex-Governor Blagojevich without all the money on the table. I helped get that that blanker Lynch selected in 2004. Arg, I'm so blanked off. Blanking turncoat. Wow, Linda! Linda! That's some kind of strong language there, girl. Know exactly how you feel, sweetie. I would say the same thing, except I work for a radio station that still, at least for tonight, goes over the air. All right, to the phone calls, as promised. Anybody there? Oh, my God. All right, let's start with Carol, who is calling from Las Vegas. Hey, Carol.
Hey, Mike. I know you don't like compliments, but I just wanted you to know that since you're Air America days and through podcasting, I don't think I've ever missed one of your shows since.
Well, that's great. No, I love that. You know, any loyalty expressed to the program is deeply appreciated.
Well, you deserve it.
Yeah, and just whatever you do, don't lose your computer.
No, since I never watch TV anymore, don't worry, I won't.
Right.
And by the way, when you read the 1984 book Over the Air, that was brilliant.
Oh my God, that seems like so long ago.
Yeah, but there was no better blueprint for what we've been through.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, my first point though, you know, as you so well point out what cowards and hypocrites that Republicans are, before the election of 2008 fades away too much, I just reminded that 57 million people voted for McCain Palin.
I know.
And they, which means they supported the invasion of Iraq, but none of them volunteered.
That's true.
So I really don't talk to Republicans anymore, but when I did, I tried to get them to explain that to me, and they never really could.
Well, just like this Judd Gregg character, when one of his Senate votes, I don't know if you heard me mention this.
Yeah, I did.
He voted to not to allow soldiers to come out of Iraq or Afghanistan after a year. Mm-hmm. And this is a guy who was a draft dodger. I mean, he used every deferment he could use back in the day, 40 years ago, when he had a chance to not have you know, his deployment ended at a year. Of course, in Vietnam, it was 1 year and home, period, no matter what happened.
Just like Cheney.
Right. But in Greg is just like Cheney, just like the rest of these bastards. So that's the part that just is so upsetting to me, that they are willing to make other people go fight this corporate war in Iraq. When they had a chance to fight a corporate war in Vietnam, they turned tail and ran like little scared rabbits. But when you think about who's fighting this war in Iraq, on the American side, and how much suffering these soldiers have gone through, I realize they're tools of imperialism, yada yada, I don't even want to go there. I'm talking about on a personal level. How many of these men and women who have lost their families over this, who are now back suffering from PTSD, who can't get treatment, whose lives are just going up in flames, their houses being repossessed, their mortgages being whatever you call it, they're getting divorces, their kids are freaking out, and this rat bastard Judd Gregg says no, they should serve as long as corporate America needs them.
Well, and the fact that he's going to be in the Obama administration is, I don't know. It's tough to think about. But you know, the second thing I wanted to say real quick, and you've talked about capitalism and democratic socialism, which I believe in democratic socialism. But you know, I was thinking the other day, I'm 55, but capitalism has failed 3 times in the span of one lifetime. I mean, obviously in the Great Depression,
mm-hmm.
in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Kind of a minor failure, mm-hmm. and now this major failure again which, you know, Obama's inheriting. I mean, capitalism just doesn't work. And you've said so many times so well of what a horrible system it is, but it's failed three times in one lifetime.
Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely right. Capitalism has as its heart and soul, hence the word capital. It is the most anti-family, anti-human system. Somebody sat down and devised a system that would make the elite wealthy beyond imagination and keep everybody else in a state of, if not poverty, just constant struggle. Then they would come up with capitalism.
I agree with you.
So it's a shame.
Just one more thing real
sure.
quick. When you mentioned that, you know, talk radio maybe didn't influence the election as much, I might have to disagree with you a little bit on that.
Okay.
Because the fact that yourself especially and others, and even like Michael Moore in his movies and all, had the courage to stand up and speak the truth so loudly, I think it influenced more people than you might think.
You know, if I could get into that kind of a mind place, I'd love to. I'd love to be able to, you know, sit here after the show every night and say to myself, oh, man, I'm really having an influence. But I can't do it. I really can't do it, Carol. I figure that the people who listen to this program are independent thinkers. They don't need me to tell them anything. Like I've said before, the function of this program is just a meeting place at the end of the day. There's nothing here to convince anybody of anything. And most of the people that listen to this program know all this stuff. I mean, all right, a lot of people maybe not would not have had Judd Gregg's voting record at hand, but the only reason I had that is because Kathy dug it up. So anyway, I appreciate the thought.
Well, and never forget that in the 90s when the Republicans took the House and the Senate, one of the first things they did was try to get rid of funding for public broadcasting.
Sure.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah. And the Republicans are the ones who tried to do a gun grab. I don't know why the nutty right wing in this country doesn't understand how dangerous – no, not the nutty right wing. These rank-and-file Republicans out here, the people who think that they're on the side of God and justice because they happen to be Republicans and freedom, not realizing that the Republican Party is the one that would cut their throats in a minute if it benefits them. And it's the liberals and the Democrats who are always going out of their way to make sure that Republicans have the right to stand up and call liberals names. It's incredible.
Well, and never forget though, when I listen to you every night, you know, it fires me up, but then I go talk to people. So seeing that way, you know, your influence and other people like you, the few that are on who try to do what you do, you know, you influence us and fire us up to go talk to people and try to change minds.
Okay. All right.
Well I don't want to keep you too long, but just keep up the great work.
All right. Thanks, Carol. And thanks for checking in. All right. Take care. All right. We have a break coming here, right?
Yeah. Keep hope alive, Mike. Keep hope alive.
No, come on, don't do that. You know, I don't handle compliments, but you know what Carol said. Okay, you know that's you know, I can say that when I listen to Hartman or when I listen to Stephanie or I listen to Rachel. You know, I can say the same thing. They fire me up to do something. If the only thing I do is just come on this program at night and try to be
steal from them.
Yeah, steal from all three of them. I'll steal material from anybody. I don't give a damn. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
For the reckless ones whose bad trip left them cold, I wear the black and mourning for the lives that could have been. Each week we lose 100 fine young men. But till we start to make a move to make a few things right, you'll never see me wear a suit of white. Brighter.
Hey, neocons, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. It's more Mike Malloy.
All right, back to your phone calls. The number here is 800-989-1480. I have one open line. Russell is calling from Seattle, listening on KPTK. Hey, Russell.
Hi, Mike. Really enjoy your format.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. I was calling about, you know, my original question is, for a long time, what orchestra plays that Pink Floyd Wish You Were Here music coming out of your 10
That's
o'clock?
That's the Royal Philharmonic. The Royal Philharmonic.
Okay, great. So I'll be able to find that somewhere.
Yeah, go to your local used CD store.
Right on, right up in the junction here in West Seattle.
There you go.
Yeah, hey, and have you guys, I'm listening to you on the phone for 2.5 hours because you don't come on for another 40 minutes. But here in Seattle, you're 9 to 12.
Yeah.
Yeah, and do you think we could go anywhere if the legislation wanted to draft a tax bill that would tax corporate executive scofflaw people that make bonuses over a certain amount, that they could be taxed at like a 99.9% rate?
If there was justice in this country, there would be no bonuses.
Yes, I understand.
Since there are bonuses, which is a clear indication there's no such thing as justice, economic justice I'm talking about, then yeah, I think it ought to be almost a tax that's almost confiscatory. Why not? In the first place, people who work in the financial services industry don't produce anything. The people who have run this scam with these derivatives and all this crazy, these crazy financial instruments that have now brought the country and possibly the global economy to its knees. These rat bastards are getting bonuses for doing what? For destroying the lives of so many people. Frankly, I'm glad to see capitalism burning. But as far as a tax on them, yeah, 95%, 99% would be that would be just about appropriate if we're going to allow the pigs to take bonuses.
Well, yeah, exactly. But I had a question. Don't you think that maybe, you know, what a lot of people have been saying for a long time, that we've always just been a one-party government and we have a Republican branch and a Democratic branch?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, thanks a lot.
All right, Russell.
I'm going to get that music, man. I really enjoy all your bumper music.
Royal Philharmonic. All right.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Okay, take care. Take care, Russell. Flo. Flo is calling from Sunrise, Florida, listening on WINZ, but probably not for much longer, Flo.
Yeah, Mike. I couldn't believe what you're telling me because it's already started, but they're going to take a Progressive Talk off completely?
In most country, cities around the country, yes. And part of the reason that that's being done is, first of all, we are a tremendous threat to corporate America. For some reason, they perceive us to be a threat. I don't think we are. And secondly, because in very few instances, people who get used to hearing a program on the air, when it's gone, then they say, "Oh, wait, where's my liberal talk program?" But by then, it's too late. So, you know.
And they don't let people know. It's usually on a Friday when they let people know they're not going
right.
to the show.
Right. That's
yeah,
right.
Like Nicole Sandler, they fired her on a Friday. She disappeared. They just disappear.
Who
is
that?
Tried to call the program manager, Kent Charles. Doesn't answer his phone, hasn't answered it since August. What I want to say is, though, I'm more or less disappointed in some of Obama's picks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, me too.
Can I mention one thing? When they were debating during the campaign, didn't Obama go after Hillary for NAFTA? Blaming her?
I think he did focus on her support or something. I'm sure he did. I can't remember the time or the words, but yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I was watching C-SPAN it was last fall, and they had this this group that said in January, NAFTA's going to come to full swing and all hell's going to bust loose. They'll be popping champagne corks. Now I know why. All the jobs that people are losing by the thousands.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like it's in full swing, you know. And then, so who does Obama pick for trade?
Yeah.
He picks somebody that likes free trade, Kirk.
I don't understand his picks. People who are much more sophisticated than I.
Maybe not, Mike.
Will tell you that they could see this coming.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, hey, listen, I'm out of time. I got a boogie, all right? We got to take
I love you, love your show. You have the best
Thanks,
show.
Thanks, Lo. Take care. We'll be back after the break, Truth Seekers. Stay with us. Boom, ba boom, ba boom, ba boom, ba boom, ba boom, ba boom. I guess I looked at the clock wrong. I guess we have another 40 seconds. All right, my bad. I can just see I can see Ian back in Phoenix going, what? What'd he do? What's going on? I got carried away with Flo's phone call there. So, what we'll do here just. We'll start the music now and take a break. Oh, my God. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Comes up, you look at old Annie and she looks kind of rough. You tell her, honey, get out of that bed. She says, leave me alone, I'm just about dead. Brother, that it ain't no ifs, 'cause Annie's been working on a midnight shift.
It's about 25 before the hour. Back to your phone calls. Ray is calling from Oakdale, Minnesota, listening on KTNF. Hey, Ray.
Yes. Is this Mike?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my gosh. First of all, Mike, let me make amends with you, because back in August, we talked, and you weren't happy with my choice of words. And
what'd you do, say a cuss word?
No. I called Barack Obama a name that we don't need to repeat. It wasn't the N-word, but it did contain the word uncle. And I would very much like to give the gentleman the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. One of two possibilities. This is what I told your screener. Number one, he is either doing what the great peacemaker did back in the 12th century when he formed the Six Nations Confederacy, and he's surrounding himself with people you and I don't like, and maybe he'll be able to get them to reinvent themselves, or he's being very cynical and Machiavellian, in which case he will have failed, and Chris Hedges will have proved to be absolutely right. This empire is finished, and so I'm arguing with myself, Mike. Do I stay and try to get millions of people to organize and basically reinvent this country, take out this empire, or do I run off to Norway and give the world a finger, like that young man who emailed you from Norway?
Wait. Can
you slow down?
What is the Five Nation peace?
Well, we've talked about this before. The source of our democracy in the most ideal form.
Oh, you're talking about the Native Americans.
Yes, the Native Americans.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Yes. I was trying to think, you know, being a white person, immediately think in terms of European descent.
No. My mind just races really fast, Mike, and I'm trying to make a point.
I just missed it because
right.
I get hung up in that, you know, white people stuff.
But it's the greatest story never told, much beyond the longhouse at Onondaga outside of Syracuse, New York. And as I said, I've talked with you several times about this, and before this short conversation ends, I'm going to do the unthinkable, Michael, if you'll allow me, and leave my email and website once again, because I want to hear from millions of people.
All right, go ahead, put it out.
If you don't mind, Mike.
I don't mind at all.
Okay, it's my personal email, and I don't have any hang-ups about it. It's rtricomo, T-R-I-C-O-M-O, @yahoo.com. And my website is...
Wait, you better repeat that.
Okay. rtricomo, T-R-I-C-O-M-O, @yahoo.com.
Okay.
And then my website, people want to visit it.
Yeah.
You've heard this one before, www.kalpulli, K-A-L-P-U-L-L-I,
right.
.net.
All right, kalpulli.net.
Yeah, because, you know, either we're going to form, you know, a well-organized mass force to, you know, to prevail upon Barack Obama to do things that he might not want to do, or... Mm. We're going down the tube, Mike. I mean, Chris.
Well, can I ask you one thing? Why,
yes, sir.
Why Norway?
No country is utopia, but it's probably one of the better-run societies.
Are you of Norwegian descent?
This is so ironic. No, I'm Sicilian.
You're Sicilian.
I thought you'd like that. I'm from the same ethnicity as half of you, I guess.
Yeah, you're right. You really are. Okay. Well, that's cool. And I do appreciate you checking in, okay?
Mike, keep up the good work, man, and please stay on the air. We love you, man.
I'll do it forever. Thanks,
and
Ray.
My best to Kathy and Molly.
I'll tell her.
Thanks.
I'll tell both of them.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. Take care, Ray. Brian is calling from New Jersey, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Brian.
Yeah, this is Trevor from South Jersey.
This is who?
Trevor.
Oh, Trevor.
Yeah, Brian was calling in earlier, but I was listening to you about Guantanamo Bay, and I wanted to more clarify your standpoint on that closing and why.
What happened to Brian? No, what happened to what happened? Who are you?
He's right here. He's right by him.
No, you're Trevor?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Trevor.
I was calling. I wanted to clarify your standpoint on Guantanamo Bay and why.
Oh, Jesus, I hope so. Somebody needs to clarify what you hear on this program. Go ahead, clarify it.
No, I wanted you to clarify your standpoint.
Oh, okay. What part?
And why it should not be closed.
Why it should not be closed?
Or why it should or why it should not?
Oh, it should be. It should because it is a torture chamber. It is something that the United States is not supposed to do. It violates human rights. It's a war crime. It's in violation of the Geneva. Do you want me to go on?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to hear your
standpoint
on
that. That isn't enough?
No, it's not enough because I feel, torturing 100 people.
I'll tell you, let's do this. You tell me why it should stay open.
Because if we're not willing to do it in our own country, let's do it in another country.
Now, do what?
If torturing 100 people saves one military soldier of the United States Army.
Wait a second. Back up. You're going way too fast for me. It's very late at night.
Okay.
When you talk about torturing one person to save one soldier, what are you talking about? Who's gotten tortured where it saved a soldier's life? What are you talking about?
Well, if it's possibility that interrogating, sorry, torture was the wrong word, but interrogating.
No, torture is the right word.
A soldier or a militant to save one American soldier's life is what it takes.
Well, what makes you think that we're torturing militants? Who told you that?
Because they're Muslim.
Because they're Muslim?
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing non-militant about Muslims.
Oh, really? What about Christians?
Oh, Christians are just as bad.
Uh-huh. So if someone is in Guantanamo and they're a Muslim, they're automatically a terrorist.
No, I'm not saying
that's exactly what you just said. Now get your story straight. Come on. Don't go wobbly on me here. Do you know who is being held, Trevor? Do you know who's being held at Guantanamo?
People that have suspicion on them for being involved in or terroristic or some other activity.
Okay, then the answer is no, you don't. Of the 750 people who have been held there, there are approximately 245 left. Of the 500 who have been sent home, how many of them were convicted of terrorism?
Well,
come on, Trevor! God damn it, Trevor! Answer the question! Come on, answer the question! You know, you people absolutely drive me right out of my skull, you freak! You total jackass! Don't call my program again. Don't call my program again. Ever! The next time your hand reaches for the phone to call me, have somebody chop your goddamn hand off.
Much like what they do at Gitmo.
Don't ever call me again, you ignorant jackass. Here's another one whose brains were sucked out through a straw that Rush Limbaugh shoved up your nose, Trevor.
I just want to make sure I got his logic okay, because he was saying, like, okay, we should, okay, keep Gitmo open, okay, because they're Muslims and it's okay to torture them, okay, because it saves a soldier's life, because they're Muslim and it's a foreign country.
No, what he was saying is, hi, Mike, I'm a total asswipe. I couldn't find my zipper if somebody pointed me in that direction, and I would pee all over myself. But I have nothing to do tonight, so I'm going to call your program, and I'm going to display in front of your entire audience what a jackass I really am. My name is Trevor. No, it isn't. Your name is Mud.
Well, technically, Trevor didn't call you. I think his friend.
Oh, of course.
His friend.
He doesn't have a friend. His best friend
hey,
is his
hold
right.
Hold on a minute. He's right here. Hold on.
His best friend is his right hand. Friend.
I'll get him for you. Hold on.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a break. Trevor. Where do these?
I'm James. Hi, Mike.
Where do these people? What? I don't know what it is. What is it? Let me look out the window here. Oh, I can't see. There are too many pine trees. But is there a full moon tonight? Oh, my God. Give me some break music. Get me out of here.
And now, the man conservatives love to hate, it's Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. God. Somebody left the door to the crypt open. I swear they did. Thanks to our staff. Ian Huff, who engineered tonight to answer your calls. Ben Birch, our podcast manager and technical advisor. Sharon Gordy, our military affairs correspondent, who provided material for about one-third of the program tonight. And our advisors, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf. Bruce Enberg is our economic advisor. Bruce sent me a rather lengthy piece tonight, and I just didn't get to it. If Bruce is still listening, we'll do it tomorrow night. Okay. The executive producer is Catherine Bay. I don't get to watch you or watch Rescue Me, a drama on the FX network. Dennis Leary you know, what are they, EMS people or firefighters or something. But a coming episode of that drama, Rescue Me, will, according to the press release, will tackle what may sound like a far-fetched plotline, that the attacks of September 11 was an inside job. And the actor who comes up with this theory on camera in the series, in the episode, turns out he also subscribes to the idea that the attacks of 9/11 were an inside job. He believes that in real life. This is Rescue Me's fifth season, and the second episode, starting in April, may represent, it says here, the first fictional presentation of 9/11 conspiracy theories by a mainstream media company. And, of course, FX is operated by News Corporation, the Rupert Murdoch neo-Nazi organization. Daniel Sinhata, the actor who plays Franco Rivera on Rescue Me, said, quote, "These ideas are not discussed a lot in the press." And he predicted that the episode would be, quote, "socially, politically provocative," end quote. In the episode, Mr. Sinhata, his character delivers a two-minute monologue for a French journalist describing, quote, "a neoconservative government effort," end quote, "to control the world's oil, drastically increase military spending, and," quote, "change the definition of preemptive attack," end quote. "To put it into action," the character continues, quote, "what you need is a new Pearl Harbor. That's what they said they needed," end quote. So we'll have to record that. We'll have to record. That's the one that Dennis Leary is in. Dennis Leary cracks me up. Back to your phone calls. Mina is calling from St. Paul, Nebraska, listening on Sirius. Hey, Mina.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. Good to hear you. It's freezing up here. I just have a quick story about WINZ.
Okay.
We lived in Florida in the mid-70s, and I had unexplained illnesses that doctors weren't able to deal with. And so WINZ had a psychic on one, I'm thinking either Saturday or Sunday afternoon, and her name was Nikki Dane.
Uh-huh.
Well, you could get a reading, and she'd tell you what was wrong. I called her, and she said, "You need a lifestyle change and a change in diet."
Mm-hmm.
We thought, what's going on? So went to the University of Miami, Mayo Clinic, an environmental care unit in Denver, and guess what they told me? You need a lifestyle change and a change in diet.
Yeah?
She was excellent. I don't even know if the woman is still around, but they are losing a good radio station in Miami, and I am so sorry.
Well, they're not losing it. They're just switching formats. Maybe it'll be all psychics all the time. I don't know. I think it's going to be all sports talk.
Well, you said all sports. You know, they don't.
Yeah.
Who needs sports? What we need is more people, more progressives out there spreading the word.
Oh.
The nation's ready for it. Business needs to realize it.
Yeah, well, sports talk is garbage to begin with. I mean, to elevate to any kind of serious level, a bunch of men, usually it's men, running around in weird outfits, hitting each other and chasing a ball, whether it's a golf ball, a football, a baseball, a soccer ball, a croquet ball. I don't care what kind of a ball it is. But, if they want to do that until their noses all bleed, go ahead. But to elevate it to Super Bowl status or devoting five stations in one media market to talk about this stuff, that's part of the reason the country's going to hell. It's the bread and circuses thing. You know, keep them entertained over here with something as ridiculous and half-witted as sports talk, and over here we'll steal the country right out from under them.
Yeah, I agree. Just another note, I was also down there when Alan Burke was down there, and his radio his TV station was a block and a half from where I worked, and I used to get off work at 10 o'clock an hour early and walk over and attend his show.
Alan Burke, the one that got shot out in Denver? Oh, well, that's one of the reasons I am always armed. Hey, thanks, Mina. I appreciate you checking in, okay?
We love you.
All right, well, I love you, too. Take care. That name, Mina, or Mina, that always reminds me of Bram Stoker's Dracula. The characters, that was one of the greatest movies I have ever seen. Who all was in that? You're the movie person. Who all was in that?
Francis Ford Coppola's version.
Yeah.
Gary Oldman.
Yeah, he played the
Keanu Reeves.
Right.
Winona Ryder, of course, Anthony Hopkins,
yeah.
Carrie Ewells.
It was just...
Not enough.
That's
I stop now.
Thank you.
Who like the, movie phone.
Who was the...
We need more psychics.
Who was the blonde person, the blonde
that
one?
That one I can't remember. I can never remember the buck-tooth blonde that kept getting bitten.
And your clothes
yeah,
kept
yeah,
coming
that's
off.
That's the part you like. You didn't
oh,
care.
Oh, my God. There's something about vampire relations that, you know, as long as, you know, I get to be the vampire, but... That was a great movie, but Mina.
You and Chaney, man.
Mina was the name of
Mina.
Mina.
Mina Harper. Harker.
I forget, but Harker. she was one of the characters. But I digress. Thanks for hanging out tonight, Truth Seekers. I appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.